Please and turn to Genesis chapter 3. We think of wishing each of you mothers a happy Mother's Day once again. And I'm sure you have appreciated so much the Blessed Comforter as you comfort others in your role as mother. We appreciate all the hours that you have invested. Genesis chapter 3. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, we are grateful for our mothers.
Amen.
Father, all the hours, yes, days, weeks, years, taking care of us,
amen,
nurturing us.
Yes.
Father, we are so grateful to you for our mothers.
Yes.
And Father, we are so grateful to you that you had patience with us.
Amen.
Your love and your grace and your mercy towards us is,
yes,
is just unspeakable.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for that.
Amen.
We do pray for these that have been mentioned tonight with physical needs, that you would lift them up.
Yes.
We do pray for the ones that will be traveling, that you will give safety.
Yes.
And Father, we do once again, we think of our country in the dire need,
amen,
of your assistance today.
Amen.
God, you would work in our land. Father, once again, just speak to our hearts through your word. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We looked this morning at Leah, we looked at Jochebed, and tonight we're looking at Eve, first of all. Jochebed was a mother of ingenuity. For Eve, I would have to put the mother of mistakes. And I don't mean this in disregard or disrespect to Eve, because I think we can all associate with her. Sometimes it seems like we've made so many mistakes in our lives that we can well associate with Eve, who made the first and deadly mistake. Eve was the very first person to be deceived. And of course, we don't have any room to complain. How many times have we been deceived? I can't tell you how many times I've sent an email to Brother Joe saying, Brother Joe, this came in. Is it a scam? Or is it something we really need to tend to? It's so hard to tell the scammers from what is actually real. It's hard to know whether to open something or just delete it. So Eve was the very first person to be deceived. Eve was the very first wife. You look in chapter 2 and verse 21, Genesis 2, 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So Eve was the very first wife. She was the first mother. Look in Genesis 3:20. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Eve was the first one to bear a baby boy. Look in chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from who? From the Lord. You know, it seemed like Eve had such high hopes for Cain. She was so excited. I've gotten a man from the Lord. And I just wonder if she was making reference back to chapter 3 and verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and who? The woman. And between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I wonder when Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. I wonder if she was thinking, this is the one that's going to bruise the serpent's head. The one who deceived me. The one who tricked me. I've gotten a man from the Lord. And finally, this is going to be the one, the Messiah. And of course, the Messiah did not come through Cain's line. In fact, when it come to Cain, the serpent would deceive him, would trick Cain. Cain was the very first person to ever be born because Adam and Eve were directly created. God created Adam from the dust of the earth, and God created Eve from Adam's rib. So Cain was the very first person to be born, and he was the very first person to become a murderer. That's got to be so heartbreaking to a mom when her son grows up and murders someone. It's got to be heartbreaking. Notice in chapter 4 and verse 2, chapter 4 and verse 2, it said, and she again bare his brother Abel. So it's talking about Eve. Now she bears Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had what?
Respect
unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The question is asked, well, how did Cain know it was supposed to be a blood offering? Well, people ask that question, but you think about it. When God created man, man was not a meat eater at that point. Notice in chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 30, Genesis 1, 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every what?
Green
herb for meat. And it was so. So animals were not meat eaters. They were herb eaters. In chapter, or same chapter, but previous verse, verse 29. God speaking to Adam says, God said, behold, I have given you every what?
Herb
bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. So Adam and Eve had never seen any animals shed, their blood shed. Animals didn't eat animals. The other day I went down our road, and there was a big hawk sitting on something. And as I drove by on the other side, he did not move. Normally, they would get up and fly. But he had his claws into a squirrel, and he was not going to move. You know, that was his treasure. Not going to move. But Adam and Eve had never seen animals' blood shed. God had given every green herb to them for meat. The animals, every green herb for meat. It wasn't until after the flood that all that changed. And so when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, and in chapter 3 and verse 7, Genesis 3, 7, and the eyes of them both were open, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed what? Fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Well, and then God comes along and God hands down the judgments. And what does God do? In verse 21, Genesis 3, 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make them what? Coats of skins and clothe them. Where do you get skins? Animal skins. Can you imagine what Adam and Eve must have thought? Some of you have pets, and you know how attached you can get to a pet, to an animal. Think about Adam and Eve. All the animals were friendly. All of them. They had never seen an animal killed. And suddenly, I don't know if it was right in front of them. I suspect it probably was. The Bible doesn't say. But I suspect he did it in front of them. Animals had to be killed. They were going to wear animal skins. The blood of animals had to be shed because of their sin. Do you think that did not make an impact upon them? Do you, when people ask the question, well, how was Cain supposed to know? Well, why were they wearing animal skins when animals were not mean to them? Oh, yes, they knew full well that those animals, the blood had to be shed to cover their sin. It didn't forgive their sin. If you hold your place there and turn me to Hebrews 10, Hebrews chapter 10, that animal blood never forgave their sin. It only covered it. It was like writing a check. A check is not money. Check is just a piece of paper. A check is a promise of money. In Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 4, Hebrews 10, 4. For it is what? Not possible that the blood of what? Bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. All those animal sacrifices was just like writing a check. They didn't pay for their sins. It was only the promise to come of the Messiah's blood. That's what it was, all those sacrifices. And they knew that. So Cain knew, but he was a rebel. So in chapter 4 of Genesis, once again, he knew all this. But instead of bringing the blood, a sacrifice of blood, he just brought the fruit of the ground. And that was not accepted with God. And he knew full well why. But nonetheless, verse 5, Genesis 4, 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He didn't repent, he just got mad. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and what? Slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said what?
I know not.
Cain lied to God. He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he, God, said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. He lied to God. It reminds me of Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira lied to God. They both dropped dead. There is Cain would become the first murderer. The first person to ever be born became the first murderer. And he didn't kill a stranger. You know, people kill strangers all the time in the cities. But he killed his own brother. And that's just it. Most of the time we think, well, all the murders, or not all the murders, but most of the murders we think happen in the big cities. This one happened in the field. It was two country boys. The first person to ever be born killed, murdered the second person to ever be born, his brother. Can you imagine being the mother of those two boys? And what a heartache that must have been to Eve. I'm not picking on Eve. I'm just trying to get us to see what she endured. You know, moms see a lot of picking on of each other when children are little. You know readily they have a sin nature, because you get one a little older than the other one, and they like to pick on them until they get to the point where you get them disciplined and they stop doing that. But moms know all about that. They watch that go on, and they have to work on that with the children. Cain, the first person to ever be born, would be the first person to end up in hell. And I'm not talking about age-wise. Maybe someone else died lost before Cain. But I'm saying the first person to ever be born ended up in hell. We have no record that Cain ever got saved. In fact, we have a lot of information that shows to me pretty confidently that he never did get saved. Notice in 1 John chapter 3. I think that would be the hardest fact for a mother to ever face, was that someone that she bore from the womb would end up rejecting Christ and end up in hell. That would, I don't know of anything that would be harder on a mother's heart than that. In 1 John 3:11, but he that hateth his brother is in, 1 John 3:11, right chapter here. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should what?
Love one another.
Love one another, not as who? As Cain, who was of who? That wicked one. Who is the wicked one? Satan. It says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So we have that commentary. The Bible says he was of that wicked one, Satan. Then you look in Jude verse 11. I can't imagine how a mother's heart would be so broken for an unsaved boy who would reject Christ. In Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of who? Cain. Can you imagine saying that of a saved person? Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. No, I can't imagine that phrase ever being said of a saved person. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead. Does that remind you of anything? Who's going to suffer the second death? The lost or the saved? The lost. The lost are going to die two physical deaths. They're going to die a physical death. And then in Revelation chapter 20, they're going to be resurrected physically and then cast into the lake of fire physically. That's why it says their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. A horrible sight. So it says they're twice dead. Cain is in this context, verse 11. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness, how long? Forever. We as Christians are not going to face that. We're going to be with the light forever, with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never going to be night again in heaven. But in hell, it's never going to be day again. What a contrast. When people reject Jesus Christ, when they get mad at God, they're sealing their own doom. He wants to save them. He wants them to be with him in the light. But for those like Cain, they have a reservation with the blackness of darkness forever and ever. So it says of Cain, he was of that wicked one. Notice in John 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Does this remind you of Cain? John 8, 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a what? A murderer from the beginning, and abode not in what? The truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Do you not see Cain in that verse as well? A murderer, a liar. He lied to God. Where is Abel, your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He lied to God. He was a murderer, a liar. That's exactly what the devil is. I can't imagine the heartache of Eve as she thinks of her very first child, whom her, when she saw that it was a man child, I have gotten a man from the Lord. It sure seems like from her wording, she was thinking, this is going to be the one that bruises the serpent's head. No, this would be the one that the serpent would deceive and end up in hellfire. How sad. And think of all the sorrows that Eve faced as a mom. We saw these verses this morning, but let's turn again there in Galatians 6. When we think of when we reap bad things, when we sow bad things, then we reap bad things. In Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. As we said this morning, that can be so discouraging, because if in the past of our lives we have sowed to the flesh, and even as we saw this morning, not sowed the good things that we should do, then those things keep popping up. But, you know, if in our lives now we start sowing good things, we can have more good things popping up than bad. It should be an incentive for us to just sow all the more good seed everywhere that we go. You know, the blessings of motherhood are abundant. Blessings. But the sorrows of motherhood are also very real. And Eve, the very first mother, experienced so many of those sorrows. But you know what? It doesn't have to end there. It's like we talked about this morning. The Bible is clear. The Bible doesn't lie to us. It shows us what we are. But the Bible doesn't send us away discouraged. It's like 1 Chronicles chapter 4. If you're not on a daily Bible reading schedule to get through the Bible, you will probably never read 1 Chronicles. because the first many chapters just deal with name after name after name. And so if you don't discipline yourself to get on some type of schedule to read through the Bible, then you probably won't read this book your whole life. I mean, the book of 1 Chronicles. But in so doing, by skipping parts of the Bible, we miss an oasis in the desert. Many people refer to the first 9-10 chapters of Chronicles as a desert of names. But there is an oasis here. In 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez because I what? Bare him with sorrow." Can you imagine walking around with a name like that? Sorrow. Well, who gave you that name? My mother. Wow, you must have been a real, not a blessing to your mom to call you Jabez. She called him Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." So what did Jabez do? "Oh, mom, you want to give me the name Sorrow? Every place I go, what's your name?" "Jabez." "Who gave you that name?" "My mom." "Oh, she must hate you. Why would she name you that?" So he could have gone around his whole life with a chip on his shoulder and been down on his mom. But what did he do? Verse 10. "And Jabez called on" who? "The God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst" what? "Bless me indeed." My mom gave me the name of sorrow. God, would you bless me? Well, what do you mean, Jabez? "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed," and what? "Enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God, what? Granted him that which he requested. Oh, there's so many people in life that are so bitter. Bitter about this, bitter about that. Instead of being bitter against God and against people, how much better to be a Jabez? In the middle of all these names, I think God put it right there just on purpose. People would miss it. If they're not dedicated to reading all the Bible, they will miss these verses. This one who had this name, it's kind of like there was a farm implement dealer and his last name was Crooks. Is it plural or singular? Do any of you guys in the farm know? Singular? So Crook. Can you imagine ever going into, even trying to go into business with the last name of Crook? I mean, honestly, that man had courage. Crook. You're going to sell me a tractor, you crook, you know? But evidently he thrived, he survived. Anyway, I don't know how big of a dealership it was, but I've seen that name before. Isn't it a John Deere dealer? Crook? I don't know. I'm not trying to pick on John Deere's, but it just seems like it's a John Deere dealer. But names. No, he didn't spend, Jabez didn't spend his life bitter. He cried out to God for his blessing. And all the wisdom of in his request. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed." I mean, really, God, truly, bless me. Enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Because that's exactly what happens when God blesses many times. It goes up here, doesn't it? It goes to the head. And then people get filled with pride. And then God has to judge. But Jabez, the wisdom, that you would bless me, and along with it, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. God granted him that which he requested. And so you know what? His mom His mom was filled with sorrow for whatever reason when Jabez was born. But so what about Eve, the mother of mistakes? But praise God, she didn't have to end that way. Yes, she thought Cain was the man from the Lord. Is this one going to be the Messiah that bruises the tempter's head? Look with me back in Genesis 4. She was wrong about Cain. He wasn't the one. But you know, isn't God gracious to us? I mean, we've made so many mistakes, but isn't he so gracious? So gracious. You mothers know that. You see the mistakes us children make. You see. You know. In Genesis 4:25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare what? A son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to what? Call upon the name of the Lord. Eve had made some grave mistakes, just like us. But God didn't leave her down. God, through her, brought forth Seth. And it was through Seth's line that the Messiah would come. And it was through this line, verse 26, that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that is where we can take courage. And for the mothers here tonight, you, like Eve, have bore your share of sorrows. But take heart, because God can use you, and this applies to all of us. We've made our share of mistakes and experienced our share of sorrow, but God wants to bless us. And so we, like Jabez, need to cry out for his blessing. And we also need to cry out to him, oh God, keep me from evil. When you bless, help it not to go to my head. When you bless, help me not to become filled with pride. Lord, when you bless, may you give me wisdom and humility to be able to handle your blessing. And so God, in the end, we see this bright spot for Eve, that God gives her Seth. God gives her a godly line. Now, Cain is the ungodly line. As we looked, the Bible says he's of that wicked one. The context in Jude, this is the line that's twice dead. This is the line that has reserved everlasting darkness. God, am I doomed to that line? Abel is gone. He's been killed. No, she's not doomed to that line. Seth has come, a godly line. Those who are going to call upon the name of the Lord, may the Lord help us to seek his blessing and to walk humbly with him and to ask for a godly seed who would serve him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mothers here tonight. Lord, please bless their hearts. We know that they have experienced their share of sorrows in life. Lord, help them to know that you love them. And Father, you want to bless them. You want to use them. Lord, give them a ray of light, a ray of hope in their lives. Would you do that, Lord? Would you bless them? And Father, I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would help us. We all associate with Eve, the mistakes. Well, Lord, we thank you for the blessings. If we will seek you and humbly desire to walk with you, Lord, you can bless. You can help us in our lives, through our lives, to leave a godly line that seeks God. That's our prayer, Lord. And Father, if there should be any here tonight who do not know you yet, help them to realize that Jesus is the pure and precious Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, thus without a sin nature like we have. He lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood can wash away all of our sins. Thank you for that great love. Lord, I pray that you would encourage tonight the discouraged. I pray, Father, that for those who might have bitterness in their hearts today, tonight, they would bring that bitterness and lay it at the altar at your feet and walk away with a blessing instead of bitterness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to 170. We've been praying for